If y'all are used to go to Miss Helen's class, all the kids for Friends Church said, go to Miss Helen's class. It's time for you to break, but everybody else in Friends Church is staying here. Everybody else, that means Goldwater girls, you're staying here. Only those who are 4-year-old to fifth grade, or 3 to 5th grade, or 3 to 1st grade, 1st grade. Not you Goldwater girls. Y'all stay here. My girls are trying to sneak out. They are trying to get away. They love being up there with y'all. As they go, okay, stay here, babies. Only through 5-year-olds, only through 1st grade, or kindergarten. All right. We're getting them reeled back in. Uh-oh, come on. Every time we meet for church, there's somebody has something going on, more than just one person always. You know, sometimes it's going to be, you know, someday you're going to be here, you're going to have something going on. And Bill and Kim have experienced a loss of a loved one tragically this morning, okay? So y'all keep them in mind, Bill and Kim Tompkins. It's Bill's sister, and it was Kim's best friend. And she had a great influence on bringing Bill to his right walk with Jesus. And so this was somebody who loves God, was a soldier for the Lord, was serving. When my pastor died, one of the things I shared with you all was that he died with his shoes on. He did. He had been at work that day. He was visiting sick people on the day he died. He was visiting sick people. He wasn't sick. He wasn't. It just came all of a sudden. And that's what I get from this loss, is that this is somebody who served all the way, her whole, you know, all the way to the end. There's a blessing in that. But y'all, please be mindful of the Tompkins family as they pray together and they cry together and hug together. Please be mindful and remembering them. We're having the Lord's Supper today. We're going to use the Lord's Supper to transport us back in time. Really back to a point where we can really see what was going on at that time, what Jesus really meant when he gave us the Lord's Supper, what it was all about. And being transported back into that time, we're going to trust his word to transform us from the inside out. And the whole goal this morning is that there will be some people in this place who have been bound up by sin or shame or sickness or some kind of thing that's got them all bound up, and they'll find freedom in Jesus Christ today. Because I'm going to tell you, it's not just lost people that need to find freedom in Jesus Christ. We think of it as evangelistic, where somebody's lost and they need to be found and find freedom in Jesus Christ. Well, that's great. That's true. And we want that to happen too. But I know enough, having been here for a while as your pastor, to know that there's people here in Christ, Christians, who need to find freedom in their walk with Jesus Christ. There's some burdens that you need to let down today. There's some rest you need to take by having faith in Christ that you couldn't get to on your own. So let the Word of God be the vehicle this morning. Let it be the bus that takes us back to that place where we can look and say, Jesus, show us the sacrifice. Give us the meaning behind the symbol of the broken bread. Give us the meaning behind that cup, which is the new covenant in his blood. Let us see what it really means, that we might find freedom in following Christ. We're going to look at the Lord's Supper in Luke chapter 22. Just briefly, in 2 verses, they're written in your handout. Let me just read these 2 verses and I'll pray for us. They're at the Lord's Supper, Passover. And Jesus told them he desired to eat this with them, and he desired to gather again with them in the kingdom. In verses 19 and 20, he says this, and it took bread, he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, his apostles, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Father God, Help us. Help us through your word to see that what we call the Lord's Supper has such a great significance. It speaks to what Jesus has given us. It speaks to the relationship that exists between God and man and how it was completely fulfilled and established in the breaking of the body and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way we can work ourselves into a good place with you. There's no way we can wish and hope for something to come up and win the spiritual lottery or some kind of weird thing. Father, we've simply got to give ourselves over to Christ. Would you help us? Would you help those who are white-knuckled holding on to the last shred of pride, to the false hopes of getting there someday? Would you help them, Lord, to let go and to let God, to find freedom from slavery and freedom for being a true child of God. Transform us to that place, Lord. Transfer us to that place where we can hear that word fresh and be renewed. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just tell you, in a moment, we're going to have men come up and stand on either side of me who are going to help for anybody who has prayer needs, because we're going to open up the invitation right now. You don't have to wait. And by the way, and this is something I appreciate, my friend Pat has renewed a vision in my mind. If you need God and you come to Christ Community Church, you know you don't have to wait for any special time, right? Just come and let somebody know you need God right now. But I'm going to tell you, for today, the invitation's already open. I want you to find freedom in Christ. And the only way you find freedom in Christ is when you realize He's paid it all. And you stop trying to make up for what you lack. And you stop trying to say, well, I'm going to do better. Why don't you let go and let God work in you? Why don't you come to see the sufficiency of what Christ has already done? So many people think that will make you lazy. Man, I tell you, the Apostle Paul rested in the sanctifying grace of Christ. It didn't make him lazy. It doesn't make you lazy. It fires you up with an empowering grace. But you never get there if you're always trying to work your own plan, work your own scheme, work your own hustle, work your own thing, make yourself right according to your own means humanly. So the invitation's open. If there's anybody who needs to get free today in Christ, you don't got to wait to the end. Come and just pray it out if you need to. Close your eyes, bow your head, and pray it out where you are. Ask somebody to help pray with you. Because I want to take what Jesus said. I want to take this word of His, especially focusing in on the broken body given for you. This is what was given for you. You don't have to earn it. It was given for you. You couldn't get there without Him giving it to you. And then the cup, it says it was the cup after supper, the cup of His blood. The cup after the cup that they drank after supper at the Jewish Passover represented redemption. It's the cup of redemption. That cup, He says, this is the new covenant. The living relationship between you and me is found in this cup. It's not found in your faithfulness. It's not found in your generosity or your hospitality or all those things that you try to do and you think you're really, really good at. It's not found in those things. It's found in the cup. It's found in the blood of Christ. That's what buys our redemption, that and that only. So let's take that word, and we're going to jump over to the Gospel of John in chapter 8. In the Gospel of John in chapter 8, Jesus is talking about freedom. What freedom and what truth do to bring freedom into our lives. And I just want to read this passage and go over it briefly, but if you feel God doing something in your life, you come on and deal with it. Soon as you feel God doing something in your life, you come on and deal with it. It says in verses 31 through 36 of John chapter 8, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him. Notice it wasn't Jews on the outside. It wasn't Jews that were hateful or oppositional to Jesus. These were Jews who believed in Jesus. And He said to them, if you live or abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides in the house forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's just look over this passage very quickly. First, let's let his word make us free. Jesus said he paid it all. The covenant between us and God, he said, is the shed blood of Christ. He's paid it. He's shed it. He's done it. When he was on the cross, he said, "It was finished." Won't you let that bring you a little freedom? Won't you bring a little freedom in that? That Jesus Christ is no liar. He's not exaggerating. He didn't say it's almost finished, it's kind of finished. He wasn't saying I was finished with my part, now you got to do your part. He said it was finished, buddy. From front to end, from top to bottom, it was done. It was finished. Won't you find some freedom in that? Just say, "Yes, thank you, Lord. Just according to your word, I'm starting to get some freedom already. I want to live in that word." Then, being honest, coming to be completely honest with ourselves and with Jesus Christ. Man, if he's done it all, he's done everything that there is, well, why would we be afraid to bring everything to him? You know, he was talking to these Jews who believed in him, and they questioned him, "How is it that you say you can make us free when we're Abraham's descendants and we've never been in bondage to anyone?" And right on face value, Jesus is so gracious to him. He could have been like, "Watch out, there's a Roman soldier." And they would have been like, because they was in bondage to Rome. And they had been in bondage to the Greeks. And they had been in bondage to the Persians and the Medes and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Egyptians. And the list just kind of, you know, it's a pretty big list. But what if they wanted to spiritualize it, which was what they were doing? We're Abraham's descendants. We've always been God's people. And we're free on the inside. That's what Jesus is actually addressing. They tried to spiritualize and they tried to rationalize with Jesus Christ. Instead of humbly coming to them as sinners who needed grace to be saved, they wanted to say, "We've always been free spiritually because of who we are." Yeah, who we are. Who are we? Well, they were Jews in the first century, and they thought they had a special covenant with God. They figured they knew everything about God. Of course, there's the Son of God, God incarnate, walking around just an arm's length from them, and they had no idea who he was. So foreign to them. He came to his own received him not, is what it says in the Gospel of John. They didn't recognize Messiah, who they'd been praying for. Were they better off than us? No. Are we better off than them? Can we say, "Yeah, we know how they blew it, those crazy first century Jews back in Jesus' time, but we're so much better than they are. We're so much wiser than they are. Oh, we see clearly where they were, you know, didn't have any vision. Are we better than they are?" No. Don't we get into our own bondages? Don't we end up in our own slaveries? Don't we allow other people and other things to enslave us and push its will on us? Man, we need a redeemer. Man, we need a savior. Whew. Praise God, we got one. Now, can we be free and bring him everything? Can I tell you something? When they had that Passover, you know, before Jesus said, "This is the cup of new covenant in my blood." Do you know what? The days before that, what all the Jewish women were doing in their home, the days leading up to Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread, all of them, the Jewish women, boys and girls, all and the men, all of them were in part of this. You know what they had to do? They had to clean their house. They would bring lights and they would look for every bit of leaven. And they would pick things up. They would move the refrigerator and sweep behind it. They would turn over the couch cushions and get all the the cereal and the coins and the, you know, broken crayons and, oh, that's where the remote control went to. They did all that. They were getting rid of all the leaven in their house. They were cleaning it. Somebody would walk around with a light and a lamp. I mean, they cleaned. They got down and cleaned. Because if there was any leaven, leaven was representative of sin. And if there was any sin left in the house, they wanted to get it out there. Why would they do that? Why would you tell on yourself? That's what confession is, you're telling on yourself. Tattletaling is when you're telling on somebody else's self. Confession's when you tell on yourself. Let me tell you, people don't tell on themselves unless they really believe the person they're telling loves them so much. People don't tell on themselves until they're ready. They don't get completely honest until they know that the one they're telling is going to forgive them and redeem them and have mercy on them. Do you believe that about Jesus? Can I ask you, get free today? Bring everything you got to him. Anything you can think of. Look in the deep recesses of your heart. Do you know that God, let's say you're a man and you got into pornography and you're like, oh man, that's so dirty and nasty. Well, give it to him. Let's say you're a lady, you got into bitterness and envy and you want bad things to happen to other people instead of good things to happen to other people. Can't you bring that to him? Be honest about who you are. Don't say, I've never been in bondage. I've always walked in the light as he is in the light. Who are you trying to fool? You in the wrong church anyway. We're the church where we say everyone has sinned. Not just everyone born after such and such a date, and everybody before then must be some kind of pearly white saint. Golly, no. We're sinners, but we got a great Savior. And we ought to come to him and say, Lord, I'm tired of toting this secret sin around. I'm going to lay it at your feet. Can I tell you, Jesus is the only one who got a plan for sin? And then let's let Jesus transform us. Man, once you let his word abide in you and you abide in his word and you realize it's true and you realize you can be totally honest with him. You might say you're going to be totally honest with your wife. You might not want to be. I saw my wife sitting over there. She's like, what are you talking about? Hey, there's things that you need to talk about between you and the Lord. They need to stay between you and the Lord. I don't care who you are. But you need to be able to say things to him you wouldn't say to anybody else. You need to be wide open with him, all in, sold out. Once that happens, you don't care about being honest with everybody anyway. But you need to get with him first because he secures you. And he can transform you. When God forgives you, you don't stay the same. When you realize you get freedom from Christ, you go from being a slave to being a son. You go from being just an indentured servant to God. Now, I wonder how many people in here might still be like that. I wonder how many people need that transformation right now. You serve God because you think you got to. Because you think you've got to please the man upstairs or he ain't going to be happy with you. You live in fear of God. And not in a good way. You live in the fear of God, thinking he's horrible and he's mean and he's vindictive. Well, you're a slave. Would you let Jesus turn you into a child today? Because I'm going to tell you something about children. They live boldly in their father's house. They come boldly. They come and say, I know the food in the refrigerator belongs to me. I don't need to ask. Now, I got to get on to my kids because they'll never shut the door to the refrigerator after they open it. But they know that I'm going to supply their needs. They know that I care for them. I wonder if there's anybody right now who needs to go from being a slave to a child. And I'm going to ask if my two men will come up. Just stand on either side of me because this is the invitation. If you just need somebody to pray for you, Johnny will be over here on this side. LG, this is Johnny Holman, in case you don't know him. This is LG Schmitz. These guys love Jesus. They're willing to pray for you. Before you come up, they're just going to be praying. They might not look like they are, but they're going to be praying just that God will have a victory in your life and that you might come to some freedom. But I'm going to go through this list because I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced because people don't trust Jesus to take care of all their needs. They stay in that role of slavery. They stay in that role of servant. And they never come over to that role of you're a child, beloved by God, saved by Jesus Christ. And if that's you, you need to come do business with God. Come do business with God and say, God, would you set me free that I might really be able to serve you as a son, not just afraid, not just scared of what's going to happen, but to serve you truly as a son. And wow, you know, this is part of what God does and He alone does. It says in His Word that everyone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ, to them, Jesus has given the power, the authority, that they might become the children of God. Y'all, God doesn't want to just use you up and throw you away when you're bad. God doesn't just concern about your recovery while you're doing good, and then when you relapse, He boots you out the door. That's not God. Because you're not His slave. If you let Him do that work in you and find freedom, you're His child. And I'm telling you, he don't give up on His children. No, not never. For all the English teachers out there, I did that for you, triple negative. No, not never. He doesn't do it. If you need Him to do that work to get freedom, let Him do that. There's people who need healing. There's people who have become defined by an illness, and that ain't right. You're not here to be defined by an illness. You know what Jesus Christ has done? Through His stripes, you are healed. You need to be changed and transformed. Let God do this work from being a sickling to being whole to being healed in Jesus' name. Let Him have the victory in that. And you might say, well, my sickness is going to stay with me only to a part, till death do you part, because where you're going, there is no curse and there is no sickness. And if you start living like that now, you'll start shining glory on Christ, and the sickness won't control your life, but the grace of God will. Who needs healing today? If you need healing, come forward, pray, give Him thanks. This is what He's done. Lay it at His feet, lay it at the cross. Give it up. By His stripes, you are healed. So, oh, John, that's charismatic stuff. Well, praise God. And woo, I don't care what I got to do, but I'm going to tell you something. He heals us all the way. Man, even if you got healed by medicine, God gave wisdom to, and where do you think they get those medicines mostly from anyway? From something God done made. And people God has made, man, if you need healing, don't be defined by that sickness. Don't be defined as a victim. Don't be defined by woe is me. You might have to bear it until God gives you the victory when you go to heaven. I don't know. God may miraculously heal you today. I don't know. It's within His hands. But if you'll just come and say, I'm in, I surrender this sickness to Christ, see what He'll do. What about the broken? The broken. There's people here who are broken in Jesus. They've been through this world. They've been through more divorces than they want to count. And it's been like their heart's been ripped up and ripped into pieces. And they've been hurt and they've been heartbroken. They've been betrayed. They've been backstabbed. They've been spit on. They've been talked down to. They've been fired and let go and rubbed in the dirt, talked on, and all those things. Is that you? Will you let what Jesus Christ has done bring you from a place of being broken to a place of being whole again? Do you realize wholeness is possible? You may have scars. You may have scars. But you can be whole again in Jesus' name. You walking around with a bitterness towards somebody who hurt you? Man, isn't it time to let that go? Isn't it? What's going to be the outcome if you don't let it go? You're going to continue to be broken. You're going to continue, because how can the love of God flow in your heart? How can the Spirit of God work in your heart if you're steady holding a hate grudge against somebody because they hurt you? How are you going to be a conduit for the love and glory of God? How are you going to do that? Isn't it time to get whole? Can I give you the secret, the freedom, and the wholeness? It's in the body and the blood of Christ. There's no other place. I'm not against counselors and all that, but I'm going to tell you, the best counselor I know is going to tell you the same thing. You got to come to Christ. You got to turn it over to Christ, because there's no wholeness anywhere else. There's no healing anywhere else. What about those who are still shamed? You're shamed because of your sin. You're guilty because of your sin. I'm going to start feeling like I'm sounding like Billy Graham right now. You're guilty because of your sin. And you have a sin problem. Ain't all of us that way? Do you know in the Old Testament that they had a shame offering and a guilt offering? Do you know if you are not in the place you thought you would be, if you've blown all the expectations for yourself because you thought, well, at this time in my life, I would be here, but I'm really down here. I thought I'd be doing better. I'm still struggling with whether or not I'm worthy to be saved. People struggle with this. I bet you in here, whether I'm worthy to be saved, whether I'm worthy to be used of God. You will never put those shame and that guilt to rest until you come to the cross. Because this is what the cross tells you. You're not worthy, but I love you more than you would ever imagine, and I've given you a whole inheritance, so pick your head up and live as a child of God forevermore. Yeah, your sins are taken as far as the east is that way, as far as the east is from the west, and they won't ever, they've been put into the sea of forgetfulness. They're at the bottom of the ocean. Whatever analogy you need to use, if you are hung up on what you've done, if you would say this, I can forgive other people, but I have a hard time forgiving myself, then you need to come to the cross, because the holy God of the universe has forgiven you. And the cross was so powerful, it made that relationship right. And you can bury all your shame and your guilt and what Jesus has done for you and find real freedom in Jesus Christ today. Don't you bear that guilt. You know, the Bible never says you're unworthy and ashamed and God doesn't like you. It says He loves you. It says He made you fit for heaven. It says He has qualified us. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 1. Think about that word. You are highly qualified. Why? Because God Himself qualified you. God Himself qualified you. Let that shame go away. Let that shame go away. Let it be replaced by boldness. Not by arrogance. Not by haughtiness, but by boldness, to where you say, yeah, I might not be worthy, but I'm loved. I might not be worthy, but I'm highly favored. I might not be perfect, but I have been graced out of this world, and it ain't got to make no sense to you. It ain't got to make no sense to me, but it's here in the Word of God, and I accept it with boldness, and I pray to my Father like I'm St. Paul or John or anybody else, just like I'm them, but I'm not them, I'm me. And I can pray that way because He loves me. And then for that lost, for, oh man, will you find freedom from being lost? And I don't know if this makes any sense. It shouldn't, theologically, just don't make any sense. But I'm going to say it anyways. I want to talk about Christian lostness as much as I want to talk about just not knowing Christ. Because there's so many Christians out there who act just as lost as anybody else. They don't know what they're here for. They don't know what's going on. It's like if you're here, that's no shame to you. Now, there's a point where everybody's got to grow and everybody's got to learn, find out where you are. But if you're in Christ, but you feel like, I don't know. I don't know if He's for me or against me. I don't know if I'm for Him or against Him. I don't really know. You have that lost feeling about you, and you need to say, I want to be full in with Christ that He might direct my path every day. Last week, it said this about the Spirit of God, that He will show you all the things that were freely given to you by God. Can I tell you, one of those things is a sense of purpose, a sense of being, a sense of who you are in Christ. Not that sense of lostness, getting out of the world like you're just spinning out of control. That's not for the children of God. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness and of a sound mind and of power. This is what He's given to us. Have you gotten what He's given to you? And if you're here without Christ, you might say, man, this just seems like a whole bunch of other stuff I heard. Well, I promise, if it's like all the other stuff you've heard, you need to start listening. Because God's trying to get through to you that you'll come and give your life to Him and not die apart from Christ. If you need to give your life to Christ, won't you come? Won't you come and say, I just need to give my whole life to Him. I've been holding back. I need to give everything I got. I need to just turn it over. Maybe today's your day. Maybe you've heard it for enough and it's finally sunk in. Maybe you're ready to heed His word. to dig and plant your house on the rock and not just have your house on the sand with everybody else, to get swept up in the flood of judgment that's coming. Maybe you are ready to give to Christ, all of you. Are you ready for that? Is anybody like that now? If that's you, you come forward and pray and say, I want to give my whole life to Christ. I don't want to hold nothing back. If that's you, you come on. You come on right now. Hey, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, but this is your time. Amen. You come on, whatever it is. And I'm opening up whatever it is. Maybe I didn't hit that button. Maybe I didn't say what it is that's getting at you right now, but something's getting at you. If there's something getting at you right now, won't you bring it to the cross? Whatever it is, won't you come and say, Jesus, deal with it. Lord, I'm going to tell you what, if there's somebody next to you, you don't want to come up by yourself, grab them up and say, come on down here with me. Come with me. Pray with me. But now's your time. Let's get it out. The key to freedom in Christ is trusting Christ with everything in your life. Until you trust Him with everything, you'll never experience the freedom He has for you. Never, ever. You'll always have a doubt. You'll always hold back. And I'm convinced by the Word of God that we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live afraid of whether we're accepted or not. We can wholeheartedly give our whole lives to the Lord. If that's you, you come up right now. I'll give you a time of silence. You pray about it and you come up if you need Him. Father, work in the lives right here. Work in lives right now. And if there's anybody holding out, Father, would you bring them to us? Bring them to yourself. Maybe there's someone who's never committed to a church home. They're just in the wind. And they feel like they've been led to be at Christ Community Church. Father, help them to make that commitment. Say, I'm all in wherever you call me to. Just do your work, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. You all pray. Keep your eyes closed, head bowed. But if you need to do business with God, now's the time. Take this time. It's your time. Blessed. You've done everything for us. Just give us the insight, give us the strength to let go and to let God. You've said in your word, if we confess our sins, just coming to you honestly about where we've messed up and how even who we are can be a mess up sometimes. Just that we have a sin nature, we're bent towards those things that go against you. So if we confess our sin, it says you are faithful. More than that, you're just to forgive us our sins, all of them. And even that nature that goes contrary to your nature. And furthermore, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that. We need you, Lord. Do your work in our heart. Help us, Father, to go away from this place saying amen and amen. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation's never over with God. We're going to take the Lord's Supper now. I'm going to ask if Paul would come down and join us. And as we do, this is for folks. If you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, this is for you. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to. If you know Jesus, you're welcome here, okay, to the Lord's table. You're always welcome at this church, but I just want to say this is for people who have a relationship with Christ, this Lord's Supper. So if you feel a catch in your spirit, man, do business with God. You know, He's giving you that to inform you there's something between you and Him that needs to be addressed before you take this supper. But this supper represents this. Christ paid it all, and all to Him we owe. That's what this is about, okay? Once you take it, just go back to your seat, and we'll finish the service from there. Johnny, he gave his body for you because he loves you, and he shed his blood for you because he loves you. LG's body was broken for you because he loves you. His blood was shed for you because he loves you. His body was broken for you because he loves you. His blood was shed for you because he loves you. Amen, brother.
John, Christ's body broken for you because he loves you.
Thank you.
His blood was shed for you because he loves you.
Thank you, Jesus. Here you go. We're going to have a station over here. Johnny and I will be. Johnny will have the bread. After you drink the cup, put it in that bucket and return back to your seat. You come to the bread first, and then you come to the cup. So, without any further ado, y'all come on down. Remember what this symbolizes. God's always open. He hasn't destined any of his children to live in bondage, to live in the prison house while the gate's wide open, to live in the tomb when the stone's been rolled away. That's not for you and me. It's for us to live in freedom, knowing who we are as the children of God. That's always his plan, okay? I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Father God, as we take up this offering, I pray, Lord, that you, one, that we'd honor you in recognizing that we don't live for our money. We see it as a gift, a way of worshiping you. Thank you for allowing us to have the ability to make wealth and by using it as a sign of worship. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.